the Creator has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Creator be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. For as you always resist the powerful who oppress and dominate creation, so you never forsake your creatures who live in harmony with nature's order. Through Jesus Christ, the wisdom of creation, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. Where I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. Hear what the Spirit is saying to all of God's creation.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading Psalm 149 antiphonally by whole verse. If you are on this side, you get the bold verses, so say them boldly. If you are on the choir side, you get the verses that are not bold, but say them boldly anyway. Alleluia, sing to God a new song. Sing praise to the congregation of the faithful.
Let the people of Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their monarch.
Let them praise God's name in the dance. Let them sing praise with timbrel and harp.
God takes pleasure in the people and adores the poor with victory.
Let the faithful rejoice in triumph. Let them be joyful on their beds.
Let the praises of God be in their throat and a two-edged sword in their hand.
To wreak vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples.
To bind their rulers in chains and their nobles with links of iron.
To inflict on them the judgment decreed. This is the glory for all God's faithful people. Alleluia.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Hear what the Spirit is saying to all God's creation.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Do unto those downstream as you would have those upstream do unto you. Wendell Berry, the beloved poet, activist, essayist, novelist, and farmer, wrote those words in an essay published nearly 20 years ago entitled Watershed and Commonwealth. Berry died last week at the age of 92. And his loss will be keenly felt by all of us who work at the intersection of faith and the environment, or what we often call creation care. The headline above his obituary in the New York Times described him as a writer who extolled America's agrarian past, getting it, I must say, exactly wrong. Berry's agrarianism did not spring from nostalgia. He could be, and often was, as carefully critical of our past as he was of our present. It is true that Barry did things that people found strange and old-fashioned, like writing exclusively with a pencil or pen, never owning a computer, and plowing his field with a team of horses rather than a tractor. But those choices were not sentimental. He made them because he believed that writing by hand and plowing with horses were better choices, using better tools that made the tasks more pleasurable. And given that he was able to live, work, and die on his family's Kentucky farm, and that between 1960 and 2022, he published upwards of 90 books, I think we ought to consider that, well, maybe he was onto something. Barry did not want us to go backward, nor was he foolish enough to think we could. He was, above all, a realist, and he wanted us to see clearly and without illusion exactly where we are now, how we got here, and where it will lead us if we are unwilling to change our ways. In that sense, he was a prophet in the great tradition of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Jesus. And in his urgency, his gentle but fierce insistence that we must act, not only before it is too late, but even if it is already too late. He echoes St. Paul's avowal that you know what time it is, how it is now the moment to wake from sleep. Waking up from illusion, from falsity, from what Thomas Merton called the dream of separateness, is a theme that is arguably more relevant today than it has ever been in human history. The exhortation to wake up and pay attention that we hear in today's passage from Romans comes amidst a message all about love. Paul says that the most important thing a follower of Jesus can do is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. It's clear and it's simple and it's incredibly hard to do, at least when we move beyond the nebulous world of feelings and enter into the realm of concrete behavior and action. Paul here defines love as doing no wrong to a neighbor, which sounds great until I realize that by that standard, I am often failing before I even get out of bed in the morning. A couple of days ago, this is an example, thinking about this sermon, I downloaded an audiobook of one of Wendell Berry's essay collections while waiting in line in a Starbucks drive-thru, having ordered my first pumpkin spice latte of the season. Poor Wendell, of blessed memory, probably started turning over in his grave less than halfway through that sentence. An audiobook? From a company owned by a billionaire? On a smartphone? At Starbucks? I mean, I guess there are worse things. What else I could have been doing at the time, really. But if I tried to trace the environmental cost and ethical burden of each one of those choices, from carbon footprint to exploitative labor practices and more, most of you would be skulking toward the door long before I finished. I know, really, that many of you make better choices than I do on a regular basis. Biking more, for instance, eschewing online shopping, avoiding unnecessary travel. But all of us are guilty to some degree of engaging in practices that are not good for the earth, for vulnerable communities, or even for our own souls. The biblical scholar and environmentalist Ched Myers put the problem so well in a recent interview when he said, "We are all both victims and perpetrators. We degrade the creation, and in turn, we find our lives degraded." When Paul tells us to love one another by doing no harm to our neighbor, we know in our heart of hearts that that means something more than just not murdering or stealing or taking the Lord's name in vain. I think we know and maybe fear that the more seriously we take this exhortation, the more we will need to examine and change so many things about our lives. It is easy to feel overwhelmed by the number of choices we make every day that may have, that will have, unintended and almost unimaginable consequences for people we will never meet. The burden grows heavier when we take into account our non-human neighbors, the animals and plants, oceans and streams, air and soil, as indeed we must. That's why prophets like Wendell Berry are so necessary. Whatever the New York Times might say, the point is not to try to live in the past or run away from the complicated reality of our lives. The point is to be awake, to be aware, to consider our choices from a larger framework and from deeper values than what is fastest, cheapest, and most convenient. Today is the first Sunday in the season of creation, whose ecumenical theme is living water. That makes Berry's insights about watersheds and the Commonwealth even more appropriate for us to take to heart. Here's a fuller quote from that essay. "People who live at the lower ends of watersheds cannot be isolationists, or not for long. Pretty soon they will notice that water flows, and that will set them to thinking about the people upstream who either do or do not send their silt and pollutants and garbage down. Thinking about the people upstream ought to cause further thinking about the people downstream. Such pondering on the facts of gravity and the fluidity of water shows us that the golden rule speaks to a condition of absolute interdependency and obligation. People who live on rivers, or in fact anywhere in a watershed, might rephrase the rule in this way: do unto those downstream as you would have those upstream do unto you." Berry says, the golden rule speaks to a condition of absolute interdependency and obligation. In today's hyper-connected world, is there any way to refute the truth of this? Perhaps only by staying asleep, by refusing to see, by ignoring the evidence that is all around us. It is people downstream, such as those affected by the terrible disaster in Nepal, who bear the burdens of those of us upstream, who are causing most of the problems through our overconsumption, our reliance on convenience over community, and our absolute faith in growth as the ultimate good. But we can change. We've seen it happen time and again in human history that people recognize when they are on the wrong path and choose a different way. And the good news is that when we do, we won't find that our lives are poorer for it, less interesting or worthwhile, but to the contrary, that they are richer, more textured, more connected, and more meaningful. When I take the time to buy coffee from someone I know, looking them in the eye while I say good morning, or read a book that I can hold in my hand, I always feel that is time well spent, time that has woven me deeper into the great web of interconnection that is life as God intended it. The simple truth is we have to know those who are downstream of us in order to live lives that will not do them harm. And that's a good thing. God made us to live lives of relationship, community, and interconnection. To try to return ourselves to that way of life is not a punishment for bad behavior, but is the reward in and of itself. When Wendell Berry left this world, it was a better place for his having been among us. Prophet though he was, most of his writings include glimpses of the joy, the exaltation, and most of all, the peace that comes from living simply so that others may simply live. I'll close with a passage from one of his essays from 1968. He writes, "We must make the effort to know the world and to learn what is good for it. We must learn to cooperate in its processes and to yield to its limits. But even more important, we must learn to acknowledge that the creation is full of mystery. We will never entirely understand it. We must abandon arrogance and stand in awe. We must recover the sense of the majesty of creation and the ability to be worshipful in its presence." Amen.
Together, let us affirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Let us offer our prayers to God, who gives life and breath to all creatures, saying, God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for the mission of the Church throughout the world, for sharing the promise of abundant life for all, and working toward its fulfillment. For our presiding Bishop, Sean, for our Bishop, Megan, and for all clergy and lay leaders. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for the leaders of the nations and for all who make or influence decisions for the health of our planet and the well-being of her peoples. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for peace and justice around the world, especially for an end to gun violence and to all violent competition for limited resources, including oil, minerals, land, and water. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for those who suffer illness, want, or exile because of environmental degradation. May we work to end their suffering and become agents of welcome, respite, and resilience. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for the environmental concerns that especially trouble our hearts, from rising oceans to biodiversity loss to wildfires and floods. May God move us from anxiety to action. We pray for those God has commended to our care, especially those on our parish prayer list. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for those who in their daily work are stewards and protectors of God's creation in ways large and small, for gardeners, farmers, and ranchers, for rangers and park managers, for fishers and foresters, for climate scientists, ecologists, and activists, and for all who work to restore and heal our wounded earth. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
I ask your prayers for the dead, especially those holy women and men who have taught us to marvel in all God's works. Lifting our voices, we pray.
God of glory, hear us.
Gracious God, grant that your people may have in them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, and guide us into harmony of relationship through loving kindness and the wise use of all that you have given us. For you are drawing all things into communion with you and with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God.
God of compassion, have mercy upon us. Heal our relationship with all creation. Forgive us our mistreatment and neglect of the creatures who share the earth with us. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent for what we have done to harm them and for what we have not done to help them. Fill us with your Spirit that we may care for one another and for all creatures according to your will and in the fullness of your love, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. We have a jam-packed yellow sheet, and we still don't have everything that's going on in here, but I hope you will take a good look at it. And if you aren't getting the email that we send out on Fridays, please be in touch with the office so that we can share all of this information and links and things with you that way. I know our ushers are working hard, and they're going to bring up some bags, some welcome bags. The idea is that if you are new here and you've never received one of our goodie bags, raise your hand. Don't be shy. There's good information in there. There's good chocolate in there. And we won't, there are no strings attached. So just let an usher know so they can come back and give you a goodie bag. In terms of all the things that are going on that are listed on our yellow sheet, there's several things that are happening even just this week, so I'm going to focus on those. We have our Inwardly Digest class that started last week. It's on Wednesday nights, but there are like six more sessions. So if you're interested, just go ahead and get a hold of the office so that you can get the Zoom link and you can join us for that. On Thursday, we have yoga. We've been having this for a while, but it's every week now just to keep it simple. It will be every Thursday at 5 o'clock, so take a look at that if that's of interest. And then on Saturday, we're having a parish garden and work day. So that's just this week, and that doesn't include some of the things on the back page that are happening in the larger community, some of which also begin this week. We do need an usher for this service, the 10 a.m. service. And there are other ways that you can get involved that are listed here. There is in 2 weeks, we have our we think of it as our program kickoff Sunday. So on September 20th, there will be one combined service at 10 o'clock. So if you were thinking about checking out the 8 o'clock service, don't do it that Sunday. Come to this service. We're gonna have a conversation and some brunch items, some food during, instead of going out to coffee hour, I don't know, just come that day, plan to stay after church. We're figuring it all out, and there will be lots of good stuff going on. I think those are the most urgent on here. We had one milestone. The other Reynolds are having their anniversary this week. Were there any other celebrations or milestones that anyone wanted to share? Things going on? Okay, that's unusual. All right, well, we will turn to page 5 and say our celebrations and milestones prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Communion is at the altar rail. You can come forward and the usher will let you know when it's time to take your place around the altar rail. You can stand or kneel as you prefer. Our bread is homemade. It is gluten-free and vegan. And when a priest hands you the bread, then you can either leave it in your hand, which means that when the cup comes by, the Eucharistic minister can intinct it in the wine and give it back to you, or you can consume it right away and wait for the cup that you can drink out of. Either one is fine. You can also cross your arms, indicating you do not want to receive one or the other form of communion, and you can also let the usher know if you need us to bring communion to you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Creator be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Creator.
Let us give thanks to our loving God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Praise and thanks are yours, our creating God. From the dust of the earth, you shaped human beings in your own image, and you filled the earth and seas and skies with a myriad of wonders. Yet we consistently turn your generosity into our scarcity, your elegance into our meanness, and your simplicity into our corruption. Though we poison and destroy your good creation, you continue to offer us your abundance. In your mercy, you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus, transforming death into life. Through the Spirit, you continue to call us into covenant with you for the restoration of creation and the reconciliation of all people. And so we give you thanks, rejoicing with all of creation as we join the saints and angels in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks to God. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He took the wine and he gave thanks to God, Creator. He gave it to his friends, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for all creation for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink of the wine, do this in remembrance of me." So we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Merciful God, we come to this table seeking reconciliation with you, with one another, and with all creation. Through these mysteries, reconcile us to your world and empower us to restore your creation and fulfill your will. Send your life-giving Spirit upon us and upon this bread and wine. Stir in us the creative and redeem the destructive. Heal your broken world, that the soil, the skies, and the seas may be filled with your life anew. Fill every heart with the sure and certain hope that we shall enter into the fullness of your joy when your whole creation is justified by faith and sanctified by love, and you are all in all. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, everlasting God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Give us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
This is living bread given for all creation. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Forgive our sins as we forgive you.
Please rise for the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May the God who sprung water from a rock, quenching the thirst of those who wandered in fear, spare us from the drought of a senseless life. May the God who flows from the wells of salvation and who is living water to the foreigner, the stranger, and the unknown, keep us in peace. May the God who rolls on like a river, changing the course of the world with streams of righteousness that guide the church's vessel in this world, empower us to work for transformation. And may the blessing of our merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit keep us and preserve us in eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
Let us go forth into all creation, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Amen.